morning to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Book of Luke, chapter 23. We'd like to read verses 13 through verse 25. Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 25. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priest and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. Behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast, that is, the feast of the Passover. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, saying, But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required or as they demanded. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. These verses are a part of Luke's account of Christ before Pilate, just prior, of course, to the crucifixion. Pilate, having found no fault in Christ, verses 14 and 15, desperately wanted to set Christ free, but he wanted to do so without compromising himself in the eyes of his superiors at Rome. And our text refers to a custom that was regularly practiced at that time, and that was on the day of the Passover, the Roman governor, which would be Pilate in this case, would release a guilty prisoner. So since some prisoner must be released and set free on this day, Pilate thinks that this is his opportunity of allowing the innocent Christ to go free without compromising at all his character. And this passage is a record of what transpired on that particular day, and all four gospel writers record this event. We want to speak today on the subject of Barabbas or Christ. This is a story of substitution. It is also a story of the manifest depravity of man. We want to consider two things. We want to see this as a reminder, most of all, of man's depravity. And then secondly, as a reminder of man's only hope, which of course is in Jesus Christ. But what Luke records here, and also Matthew, Mark, and John, reminds us of man's depravity. We're reminded by man's depravity by the choice that the people made on this particular day. Again, on this day, a prisoner would be released. One prisoner would be set free. He would be loosed. He would be given his liberty. He would be let go. He would be discharged. Now, we know of at least four prisoners that were being held at this time. I'm sure there were more, but we know of at least 4. There was Jesus who was being held. There were the two thieves who, of course, would be eventually crucified with Christ. And there was Barabbas. And we are told in Matthew 27 and verse 16 that Barabbas was a notable prisoner. That is, Barabbas was distinguished for his crimes. In other words, Barabbas was the worst. Of the prisoners that they had were holding, Barabbas was the worst. Now, we know of the two thieves. It's not said that they were notable prisoners, but it is said that Barabbas was a notable prisoner. In other words, Barabbas was worse. And this is why Pilate brought up the name of Barabbas, the worst prisoner that was being held at that time. Now, Mark and Luke tell us that Barabbas was an insurgent and a murderer. Mark says in Mark 15 and verse 7 that he had committed murder, and he had committed murder in the insurrection or in the uprising. And Luke says in Luke 23 verse 19 and also verse 25 that for a certain sedition and for murder he was cast into prison. John, in addition, in John 18 and verse 40, says that Barabbas was a robber. So we have his crimes. He was a rebel, he was a murderer, and he was a robber. Now, Pilate wants to set Christ free. And since it was the custom on this particular day, the Passover, to set free one prisoner, we read in Matthew 27 and verse 17 that Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Who would you like me to set free this day? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" That was their choice. Barabbas or Jesus. One of them will go free. The other will be crucified. But one of them will go free. On the one hand, you have Barabbas. On the other hand, you have Jesus. Barabbas is a mere man. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the infinite one. He is the eternal one, the immutable one, the omnipotent, the omniscient one. On the one hand, you have Barabbas, the creature. On the other hand, you have Jesus. He's the creator. He's the architect. He's the sustainer. He's the owner of everything. On the one hand, you have Barabbas. He's a criminal. On the other hand, you have Jesus, the most precious, the most lovely, the most influential, the greatest, the most illustrious, and the most important person who ever walked the earth. Barabbas, a criminal, or Jesus? On the one hand, you have Barabbas. He's guilty. He's vile. He's wicked. On the other hand, you have Jesus. He's innocent. Pilate has said, I find no fault in this man. He has done nothing worthy of death. He is without sin. He has no faults. There is not a single flaw in his person. He is without defect. He is without blemish. On the one hand, you have Barabbas. He's a rebel. On the other hand, you have Jesus. He's law-abiding. He hasn't broken any laws. On the one hand is Barabbas, who hurt others. He robbed others. He killed others. On the other hand, you have Jesus. All he has done is helped others. That's your choice. Barabbas or Jesus. On the one hand, you have Barabbas, who took from others. On the other hand, you have Jesus, who gave to others. You have Barabbas, who destroyed others. On the other hand, you have Jesus, who saved others. I mean, even while they were crucifying Jesus, they said he saved others. So the people acknowledged that Jesus had saved others. But Barabbas was one who had destroyed others. Barabbas is a selfish individual. Barabbas is an uncaring individual who lives entirely for himself and himself only. On the other hand is Jesus, who lived for others. So you have Barabbas, who really is of no benefit to society. None. In fact, Barabbas is a detriment and a drain upon society. On the other hand, you have Jesus. He hasn't done anything to hurt their society. He's the one who had multiplied the loaves and the fishes for them. He had healed their lepers with a touch. He had healed their crippled. He had healed their diseased. He had cast out devils from their sons and their daughters. Jesus Christ raised up the paralytics. He was one who had given sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And here you have Barabbas. He has absolutely nothing to offer the society. And you have Jesus, on the other hand, who was everything that they needed. So there they are, Barabbas and Christ. This is the choice, Barabbas or Christ. Now Pilate, again desperately wanting to release Jesus Christ, I believe thinks in his mind that they cannot possibly prefer that such a one as Barabbas be released and set free. Certainly, given the choice between Barabbas and Christ, they will choose Christ. So Pilate thought. He did not think that they could possibly find Barabbas to be more tolerable than Jesus Christ. But with one consent, there does not appear to be a single objecting voice, nor a single hand held up to the contrary. They point to Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Creator, the one whom Hebrews describes as holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. They point to Jesus Christ, and with hearts filled with anger and hatred. Notice Luke 23, verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away!" Pointing to Jesus. "Away with this man. Release. Set free. Discharge Barabbas." We are told in verse 20 and 21, Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. That is, he pleaded with them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him. We want you to set Barabbas free. And we want this man, Jesus Christ, we want him crucified." Pilate again tries to persuade them in verse 22. "And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him." Willing to compromise, he says, "I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant. That is, they were quick, without any thought, and with loud voices, requiring or demanding that he be crucified. This is the depravity of man. And people will say, "Oh, that is awful. How could such a thing happen?" It happens every single day. It is all around us. The people saw more virtue in Barabbas than they did Jesus Christ. They had an easier time tolerating Barabbas than they did Jesus Christ. They saw more benefit in Barabbas than they saw in Jesus Christ. They found Barabbas to be more acceptable than Jesus Christ. And they thought Barabbas to be more worthy of freedom than Jesus. They preferred Barabbas to Christ. They were partial to Barabbas rather than Christ. They actually preferred a wretched felon named Barabbas to be set at liberty, to be let go, to be given his freedom, rather than releasing Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means that they would rather have Barabbas walking their streets than Jesus Christ. They would rather have their families exposed to Barabbas than they would Jesus Christ. They hate it. They absolutely hated Jesus Christ. Why did they hate Jesus so? Same reason people hate him today. Because he told them the truth. They hated him because he testified that their works were evil. They hated him because he was righteous. And they were wicked because he was holy and they were unholy. Because he testified against sin and they were determined to hold on to their sins. They chose Barabbas over Christ. The choice of the people was very popular. Be careful of opinion polls. They were very popular, their choice. It was passionate. No doubt it was criminal. No doubt the choice they made was foolish and would prove to be fatal. Among that assembled multitude that day, there were doubtless those who owed Jesus Christ greatly. The truth is, they were all his debtors. But they clamor against him as though he were the worst trouble of their lives. They clamor against him as he was the biggest pest and pestilence that existed in their lives. They found Jesus Christ to be more of a nuisance, more of a bother than a felon. I believe that scene is played out every single day. You have Barabbas, who really represents everything that is filthy, vile, wicked, and abominable, and contrary to the law of God. Everything that is in rebellion against God's authority represents that which is destructive, represents that which is of no benefit whatsoever to mankind, represents that which robs man of his peace, his joy, and yes, even life itself. Barabbas represents everything that wreaks havoc in our lives. That which leads to turmoil and anguish. Now, which will it be? Barabbas or Christ? That is the choice that individuals and society as a whole are faced with every day. And just as it was in that day, so it is today. There were forces of persuasion at work. Notice in Matthew 27, in verse 20, there were forces of persuasion at work amongst the people. But the chief priests and elders persuaded, convinced the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The people had been persuaded. They had been convinced by their leaders that Barabbas was more tolerable than Jesus Christ. The people had been convinced that Barabbas was less of a threat to the good of society than Christ. They had been convinced that Barabbas was better, was more beneficial than Christ. And that it would be better for us to do away with Christ. It would be more beneficial to us to do away with Christ and everything he represents. And let Barabbas and everything he represents to walk the streets. They had been convinced of that. There were forces of persuasion at work. And I ask you today, is this not exactly what we have witnessed in our society for many, many, many years. It's now, of course, coming to a climax. It's been going on for a long time. People are being convinced today by liberal, humanistic, and an atheistic media and politicians and liberal preachers and liberal educators that Barabbas is more tolerable than Jesus Christ. In fact, laws have been passed that state loud and clear that Barabbas is more tolerable than Jesus Christ. Courts are tied up to prove that Barabbas, or to enforce that Barabbas is more tolerable than Jesus Christ. People are being convinced today that the murderer who sets up his butcher shop in the abortion clinic or in the hospital is more tolerable and less dangerous to society and less dangerous to the well-being of man than the narrow-minded Bible believer who condemns such. They're being convinced that this is so. People are being convinced today, they are being persuaded today, that sodomites and their supporters and their agenda are less of a threat to the society of man than Jesus Christ. There are forces of persuasion at work. And just as Pilate thought, certainly, the people cannot possibly decide to let Barabbas go free and to crucify Christ. And no doubt Pilate was shocked when the verdict, when the people let their voice be heard. And so today, people are shocked when the voice is being heard. Not this man. Not Christ. We don't want him walking our streets. We don't want him in our courtrooms. We don't want him in our classrooms. We don't want him in our government. Away with him. We'll rather deal with Barabbas and everything he represents. People are being convinced today that it is more tolerable to accept and embrace fornication, adultery, immorality, nakedness, lewd behavior, and on and on and on we can go, rather than thus saith the Lord. People are convinced of that. People are being convinced today that it is more tolerable. And it is. The laws of our land say so. That it is more tolerable to, and acceptable to pass out condoms to boys and girls than it is for the Gideons to pass out Bibles. I remember being in grade, what grade was it? Fifth? Fifth grade. Pass out Bible, New Testaments and the Psalms. No longer allowed today. But you can pass out condoms. When I was in fifth grade, I didn't even know what a condom was. But today they're passing them out. Because the world says loud and clear, away with this man, Jesus Christ. We'll deal with Barabbas. We'd rather have Barabbas sitting in our classroom than Jesus Christ. We'd rather have Barabbas exposed to our families than Jesus Christ. What a shame. People are being convinced today that it is more acceptable to teach children safe sex which, by the way, is a misnomer outside of marriage. But they are convinced that it is more tolerable to teach safe sex than abstinence. Then thus saith the Lord. I mean, who's going to get into more trouble today? The guidance counselor that teaches safe sex, or the one tells them what the Lord says? Who's going to lose their job? Barabbas or Christ? People are being convinced today that it is more acceptable, it is more tolerable to teach the hypothesis, the foolishness of Darwin, rather than the biblical account of creation. But that's far, far more acceptable. I'm telling you, Barabbas is preferred to Jesus Christ. People are being convinced today that the politician who is immoral and as twisted as can be is more tolerable and is less dangerous than the one who would stand up and say that he believes the word of God and that stands up and says that he prays. They find that individual unacceptable. Barabbas is preferred to Christ. And people today are being convinced that that is enlightenment. It's the enlightened crowd that prefers Barabbas. But even God's people are faced with the choice of Barabbas or Christ. You see, Barabbas is like sin. It's a thief and a murderer. And the choice comes down to Barabbas, sin, or Christ, the one in whom we have acceptance with God, the one in whom we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are justified, we are accepted into the family of God. Which will it be? Barabbas or Christ? Examine your heart. Can you see there in your heart that which stands opposed to Christ? Can you see that which stands opposed to serving the Lord? Which will it be? Barabbas or Christ? The Barabbas of living life your own way, or Jesus Christ? The Barabbas of worldliness, or Jesus Christ? Who do you prefer today? Barabbas or Christ? And what a shame when those who profess to be God's people come to the defense of Barabbas over Jesus Christ. And many, many are doing that, and that's another message. But we also have here a reminder of man's only hope. The person of Barabbas is a picture of a sinner. Barabbas was a man who was guilty. He was guilty of many offenses. Because he was guilty, he was in prison under the sentence of the law. In other words, Barabbas had been tried. He had been found guilty. He had been found guilty of robbery, sedition, and murder. And now he's in prison. And he's awaiting the condemnation that he deserves for his crimes. And as such, Barabbas is a representative of all men. By nature, all of mankind can be named Barabbas. The name Barabbas means his father's son. We could all be named that.
Because we are of our father, Adam. We have his image, we have his nature, and we have his character. Now, Barabbas was a rebel. He was a rebel. And like the unsaved sinner, who also is a rebel. Like Barabbas, the unsaved sinner is proud, self-willed rebel who hates authority. Man today hates the authority of God. Hates it. That's why such hatred is exposed toward the Ten Commandments. If anything represents God's authority, it's the Ten Commandments. The unsaved sinner is born with a rebellious nature. We rebel against God's commands. We rebel against the throne of God. We, like Barabbas, were seditious traitors against the government. In our case, the government of God. So Barabbas was a rebel. He was also a robber. And like the unsaved sinner, just the same, the unsaved sinner. They're self-willed, they're selfish, they're greedy. They're robbers. The unsaved sinner robs God of his glory. Thinks nothing of it at all. Refusing to worship the Lord. They rob God of his honor, refusing to believe him. They rob God of his creation, stealing that which God has made for himself and using it for themselves without any regard whatsoever to God. Mankind, like Barabbas, are thieves. But like Barabbas, man is a prisoner under the sentence of the law. In other words, left to themselves, they are condemned. Barabbas had been condemned to die. And John chapter 3 and verse 18, John chapter 3 and verse 36, the unsaved sinner is condemned, awaiting. The sentence has already been passed, guilty. Now they're just waiting for the execution. Barabbas must die. So they find Barabbas guilty. They take him away. They bind him hand and foot. And they put him in prison until the day of his execution. Don't you see, unsaved sinner, that is your life? You're guilty. And you are in bondage, simply awaiting the day of execution, simply awaiting the day of judgment. That's your life, unless a miracle takes place. So there's Barabbas. He's sitting on death row, very much unlike our death rows. But Barabbas is sitting on death row. Now, he's a criminal. But don't tell me that he doesn't have emotions running through his mind as the day comes closer and closer that he will die upon a cross. There is absolutely no way out for Barabbas. His fate has been sealed. So there he is in prison. Suddenly he hears the sound of footsteps getting closer and closer. And he just knows, this is it. I am now going to be executed. I am going to die the death of a felon. And eventually the prison door swings open. Barabbas, stand up. He knows he's going to die. But suddenly, his shackles are removed. And then he hears the words, Barabbas, you're free to go. You have received a pardon. A man named Jesus is going to die in your place. And Barabbas was set free. We never read of Barabbas again. No idea what eventually became of Barabbas. But what you have there is a picture of the sinner's only hope. The sinner's only hope is Jesus Christ dying in your place. That is your only hope today. Your only hope of being released. Your only hope of being set free and loosed and set at liberty. Your only hope of being discharged is for a man named Jesus to have died in your place. He is your only hope. And all of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we can identify with what Barabbas must have felt that day when they said, Barabbas, you're free to go. Because when Jesus saved my soul, he said, let him go his way. He's free. He's been set free. He has received a pardon. And we know the weight that fell off of our shoulders and the joy that filled our hearts because we have been set free. And it was all because of a man called Jesus. And I have been set free today. And how dare I ever choose what Barabbas represents over the one who set me free? How could I ever live for what Barabbas represents rather than the one who set me free? What is it today? Barabbas or Christ? Everyone will leave here today. I don't care who you are. Everyone will leave here today. Barabbas or Christ? Which is it going to be? The world, we know what side they're on today. We know. People say, oh, you all just have a complex. Open your ears, open your eyes, look around, listen. That has nothing to do with a complex. It's the way it is. This world prefers Barabbas. That's why Barabbas can get elected to office today. But those who represent Jesus Christ are almost unelectable. God help us. But we that have been set free, that we might rejoice and that we might live for the one who set us free. Remember that day when you heard those words, you're free to go. Free to go. I mean, you were condemned. And now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse song.